Okay, well, first I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Fabian. I am 33 years old. I live in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. At the moment, I'm actually enlisted in the United States Army. I am a sergeant. I mean, there's not really much else. I guess I'm married at the moment. And I'll explain exactly why I say at the moment. I also have three children. My oldest is 13, she'll be 14 this year. My son is 9 years old, and my youngest is 4 years old. I love them very, very much. They are definitely the light of my life. There's really nothing that I would be doing right now if it wasn't for them, because I do everything for them. But I guess that's really enough of an introduction. I guess I'll start off with this first episode of this podcast with just talking about what's going on this week and next week, really. At the moment, and first off, I also want to express to you guys, whoever listens to this, that I may be speaking in military terms. I've been in the Army for about 7 years now, so it's a lot of what I'm used to. I talk a lot in Army lingo, and whenever I talk to my family members or to my friends, I end up saying a lot in, just military slang. And they always ask me, "What the hell am I talking about?" And I don't blame them. I'm just so used to talking a certain way that it's hard for me to get used to talking in regular terms, I guess. But to start off, I know today's Tuesday, but yesterday I started a process known as clearing in the military. So I've done 7 years. And when you're in the military, you go by contract. So the contract that I am currently on is ending in April of this year, April 15th to be exact. So come April 16th, I will officially not be in the military anymore. I'll be officially a veteran, not a service member. So on the 15th of April will be my last day in the military, but I'm taking leave. So for those of you that don't understand what leave is basically, in civilian terms, is basically like taking vacation days. I have so many vacation days built up that I'm taking a certain amount. So at the moment, I'm taking 34 days of not vacation, but it'll be terminal leave. Terminal just means not that I'm dying or anything, but that I'm going to be exiting the military and not returning because of me finishing my final contract. So, yeah, I will be leaving in about 2 weeks. I started clearing yesterday. Honestly, I am actually almost 90% done. Basically, what you do during clearing is, you go to a bunch of different places where they have you in the system, and you let them know, say, "Hey, I'm here to clear." And what they'll do is they'll look you up in the system and they will take you out. They will clear you from the system. So clearing is quite literal. You go to a certain place that you have to go to, you clear, and then you move on to the next place. So I started yesterday morning, like around 11 o'clock in the morning, and by the end of the day yesterday, I was about 90% complete, thankfully, because everyone that I needed to go see was there. And I say that because usually, if you're listening to this and you've been in the military or you are in the military, you know that a lot of the times when you go to these certain places, the people that you really need to see either are not there, or the place is closed. for no reason at all. Maybe, the people that are in that department are out doing some sort of training, or they're out at the range shooting the weapons, or something is going on where they just happen to not be there at the time. I got lucky. Most of everyone that I needed to see was there. Anything that I didn't get done yesterday is only because I could not do it yesterday. I have to do it on certain days. So, like today, for instance, I had to go do a meeting with the Army National Guard and Reserve, because they want to basically just, on my way out, they want to give me all the options that they can give me. They want to show me all the benefits that they give, because I am on active duty right now and I am allowed to sign up with the Reserve or National Guard. And instead of doing this full time, I can do it part time. My goal is to not do that at all. When you join the military, whether you do 3 years or whether you do 4 or however many years, according to the United States military, you're obligated to do 8 years total. So, say you do 4 years in the military, you are still obligated to 8 years. Now, if your first contract is only 3 years and 3 or 4 years, and you complete that contract and you decide to get out of the military, that's fine. You can get out of the military, but you still have up to 8 years that you need to complete. Whether that be active or inactive. So, say you have a 3 year contract, and in those 3 years you got out honorably and you were good to go, and you just decided this wasn't for you anymore and you wanted to get out, then that's completely fine. You can do that. But just know that you still got 5 years left on a 8 year obligation. So, and in those 5 years, if the United States Army or the United States military as a whole decides to go to war with another country, and it's a full-blown war like the one with Iraq in the early 2000s, then they're going to call you right back because you're not done fulfilling those 8 years, right? My 8 years are done in May 21st of this year. So, April 15th, I'm officially done with the Army. Contract-wise, my 8 year obligation is done May 21st of this year. So, May 22nd, I am officially not eligible to be called back if anything were to happen. Now, I would like to just let you guys know the reason why I'm getting out, the reason why I'm deciding to not continue to, serve this great country, even though. In all ways, whether you're in the military or not, you're still serving this country, by doing whatever it is you can for human beings and for yourself and for your family and for, when you work or you take care of the environment, whatever it is that you do, you're still serving your country no matter what. My decision is based on family. I've been in the military for 7 years. My first duty station was Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I went to basic training in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. I went to AIT, which is your advanced individual training, for to be a truck driver in the military. And once I completed that, I volunteered to go to airborne school. And so I went to airborne school in April of 2013, and that's in Georgia. And then once I completed airborne school, they assigned me to the 82nd Airborne Division over at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And that's where I was in that unit for 2 years. And I loved it. It was amazing, for my first experience with the United States military. It was great. The camaraderie was awesome. I had a lot of friends. I had a good leadership. I'm still friends with my old first sergeant at the time. He's a sergeant major now, but I still have a lot of friends from that time. And so then a couple years later, I ended up getting moved from that unit to a different unit, but still on Fort Bragg. And I got moved because there is Army headquarters They were looking for drivers, for military drivers, because there was this certain unit that I got moved to needed drivers. And so they put in a request to headquarters, and headquarters picked a bunch of different people from different units and sent them to this other unit. So that's what happened to me, basically. I got sent over there for a year. I really didn't like it because it was kind of like a culture shock. So the 82nd Airborne Division is, if you've ever heard of it, it's a beast. It's a very different beast compared to the rest of the army. And so that's what the kind of mentality, the kind of culture that I was used to. When I went to this new unit was completely different. I was not used to anything that was going on. A lot of what went on in the unit was just more laid back. It was just a little easier, I guess, and I just wasn't used to that because I was used to, working a little harder, I guess. I don't want to downplay the unit. The unit did their job and they did their mission, without any problems. It's just the way that they did it, and I wasn't used to it. So, I was there for about a year, and then I re-enlisted for a 4-year contract, for a new 4-year contract, and I moved over to Fort Lewis in Washington State. So, yeah, I moved, drove with my family from North Carolina to Pennsylvania, which is where I'm from. I'm from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, home of the Amish. I am not Amish. I always get asked that. I am not Amish, but that's where I'm from. I was born there. I was raised there. I also lived in Puerto Rico because I have family there. But most of the time that I have been alive, I've been in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, other than moving around because of the army. But I went back home just to go see family and stuff like that before I decided to go all the way across the United States to Washington State. So my family and I took off back in 2016. We drove for, it took us about 5 days to get the whole way across, all the way from Pennsylvania to Washington State. And it was, I honestly want to say, it was an amazing drive. It was definitely an amazing drive, especially when you get to the Midwest. Once you pass Indiana, Illinois, once you pass Minnesota, once you get into the Dakotas and Montana and those states over there, the view is beautiful. There's mountains everywhere. There's not as many trees because it is the Midwest, but the mountains are amazing. The passes through the mountains, there's snow everywhere, on the mountains, of course. But at the time that I was driving, it wasn't snowing at all. It was cold, but it wasn't snowing. But there was snow on the mountains. That's if you could just imagine how big the mountains were just to have snow on them. It was amazing. And then these highways that I was driving on I-90 going west, and these I-90 goes through pat there's passes that go through the mountains, and the views, oh my God. Like, I stopped to get fuel for the car in a gas station in Montana, in western Montana, and holy cow, the mountains there, like just at the gas station, I could see this mountain right next to us, humongous. And it was just like, I mean, like I said not too long ago, I lived in Puerto Rico, and in Puerto Rico, it's a tropical island, but on the island itself, there's mountains everywhere. And I'm not talking about little hills, I'm talking about giant mountains everywhere you look. And it's an amazing sight to see, but it's not the same type of mountains like there are in the Midwest or even in the Northeast. Like these type of mountains, they're the kind that are gigantic and have snow on top of them, and they're awesome, And so I drove through all that with my family. At the time, my youngest daughter, who's 4 right now, was literally, oh man, I want to say like a month and a half to almost 2 months old. I mean, she was a newborn at the time when we were taking that drive across the United States. And but it was a good drive. I handled it well. My other two kids handled it well. My wife handled it well, and it was great. And so we finally get to Washington. like I said before, I re-enlisted for a 4-year contract. So I was supposed to be in Washington for 4 years. I wasn't, but I'll get to that. So I ended up in a unit over there that I chose, and it was a great unit. Still, the culture was a little different because it was the same type of unit that I had just left. So it was a very laid-back unit. It was pretty easy. The reason why I'm not telling you guys the names of these units is because I don't want to put out any sensitive information on this podcast. Because obviously, because of me being or me still being a military member, even after I get out, I have a security clearance. So that basically states that I am not allowed to let out any classified information or anything like that. So the only reason why I said anything about the 82nd Airborne Division is because everybody knows who the 82nd Airborne Division are, since World War II and all that stuff. Everybody knows who they are. These other units, I'm just not going to mention because of what I just stated. I don't want to accidentally put out any type of sensitive information that could get me or anyone else in trouble. So I'm just gonna, keep calling them these units. But anyway, I get to this unit, and it's another airborne unit. So I was jumping out of airplanes. Yes, I am airborne qualified as of right now. I have a total in my career of 31 jumps. So that just means that I've jumped out of an airplane 31 times with a parachute on my back and landed on the ground. That's all that means. Thankfully, I've never been hurt on any of those jumps. I've had some pretty crazy jumps, but I'll get into that later on, and yeah, maybe in a different episode. But yeah, so we moved over to Washington. We were there for about 2 years. I had just come back from a work trip from overseas. So I went overseas for about a week, came back. I looked into my email and I found out that headquarters sent me an email assigning me to a unit here in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. And I'm not gonna lie, I was pretty devastated because I re-enlisted for 4 years to be in the unit that I was in. I was supposed to be in Washington State for 4 years. They only gave me 2 out of those years. So in those 2 years, and the thing about it is that when I re-enlisted in Fort Bragg, before I left Fort Bragg, when I re-enlisted, I only had a certain amount of time left on my previous contract. Once I signed that brand new contract, the day that I signed that contract is the day that new contract started, those new 4 years. So the time that I spent from the day that I signed that contract in Fort Bragg counted towards my new contract. So I didn't get to Washington, and that's when my 4 years started. My 4 years had already started. So I already had, I'll say, about 6 months already into my new contract before I even got to Washington. I had already 6 months in. So when I did accomplish my 2 years in Washington, I had to move and I had to come over to Fort Sill, and it wasn't my choice. It wasn't my choice. This was the military headquarters, the Army headquarters, telling me that they needed me to go to a totally different state because they needed, I guess, me for some reason to come over to the state and to this new unit. I wasn't the only one, also. When I got here, I met a lot of people that happened to. And you know what? I'm not gonna say that I'm happy about it. If you've never been in the military, I want you to understand that there's really, once you sign a contract with the United States military, you belong to the government. Okay, so there's things like freedom of speech that you won't really have. Okay, you're not allowed to speak against the president of the United States, whether you feel good about him or not, because he is your boss. Technically, he's your boss. If you work for the government, the United States president is your boss, like the top dog. And then there's other things that go along with that too. But, I'm human. I was not happy about it. My family definitely wasn't happy about it because we were finally getting used to being in Washington and actually knowing what to do and having a good time. And then all of a sudden we get told, hey, you're being assigned to a new unit and there's nothing that you can do about it. And I tried doing something about it. I emailed headquarters, I called them, I told them, hey, instead of sending me to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, why don't you just send me back to Fort Bragg? I would love to go back to Fort Bragg because that's what we know. That's what my family knows. And they emailed me back and they told me that if there is no specific reason as to why I cannot fulfill this new assignment, then I had to do it. And unfortunately, I didn't have a good enough reason to say, hey, this is the reason why I can't do this new assignment. So, I had to move, and we weren't happy about it. My wife was not happy about it. My kids, well, they kind of just dealt with it, because as a army brat, I guess if you want to call it that, as a military child, you don't really understand. All you really know is that, hey, every couple years you're gonna move away and you're gonna move away from everything that the places that the people that your friends from school, and you're gonna go to some other place and you're gonna end up meeting a bunch of different people. And that's really hard on kids. And it's hard on adults too. I'm not even gonna lie about that. But we moved here. Oh, of course, first we went back home to Pennsylvania so that we could go see our family and everything before we moved here. But we finally made our way out here. It took us about 2 days from Pennsylvania to get to Oklahoma. And hey, I talked to a lot of people. I even had a friend in Washington who had gone to the unit that I was in from Oklahoma. His first unit was in Oklahoma. And I spoke a lot with him, and there's just he could tell me everything that he knew about Oklahoma inside and out. And honestly, the only way that I would actually find out what he was talking about or actually understand what he was talking about is to go to the place. Unfortunately, I had to come to this place. But it is what it is. It was what it was. I told myself, you know what? I'm just gonna go down there. I'm gonna try to make it the best that I can make it. Because if you go to a new place and you make yourself miserable because of that place, and you're just gonna be miserable because of your own doing. You gotta try to make yourself happy. You gotta make the best of wherever it is that you're gonna go to. So that's what I tried to do. Unfortunately, I've been here just about 2 years. Today's March 3rd. On March 10th of this year will be exactly 2 years that I've been here. And it's been a rough 2 years. It's been a really, really rough 2 years. I learned a lot about being a leader because I, like I said before, I'm a sergeant. So I learned a lot about being a leader. I learned a lot about being in the military. I learned a lot about the military, a lot about dealing with soldiers with certain problems. I'm not gonna lie to you, the first year that I was here, not even the first year, I wanna say the first 9 months that I was here, it wasn't too bad. I got here, they found out that I was a master driver. A master driver is basically someone who teaches other soldiers how to drive military vehicles. That was my job. I was a teacher. So I told them that I was a master driver. They literally, a month after I was here, I was sent to go teach a class. When our classes are called driver's training, which is, self-explanatory. So I went, I taught this class. And then a month later, they decided to put me on a another work trip in Texas. And this work trip was about 36 days long. So that's just a month and a few days long. So, I went on this work trip and I was over there for 36 days and then I came back. And it's very hot over here in the summer. Oklahoma hits the three digits every single summer. I think the hottest it was last year was like 117 degrees, and that's hot. Plus the humidity, it's horrible. Especially to be outside all that time. But I dealt with it during the time. 2018, about September-ish, my wife was really feeling down because she felt like she was just here, stuck here. There's not really much to do around here either because most of Oklahoma, from what I've noticed, it's just little towns that are really spread out. So you have to drive basically an hour and a half to get to Oklahoma City. You have to drive an hour to get to Wichita Falls in Texas. Dallas is 2.5 hours away. So anywhere that you want to go to be able to do anything, you have to drive. The town that's right outside of Fort Sill is Lawton, Oklahoma. Lawton, Oklahoma is not the best town at all. I mean, outside of almost every single military post, from what I hear, there's always that one town that everybody talks about that is the black hole of that place. So in Fort Bragg, you got Fayetteville. Fayetteville, North Carolina. Everybody calls it Fayette-Nam. And, I'm not going to lie to you. The time that I spent there, it wasn't that bad. I didn't really experience anything that bad. So when I went to Washington, everybody kept telling me about Lakewood, Washington. Lakewood is another town right outside of a military post. Same thing. I went to Washington. I was there 2 years. I never really experienced anything bad. Lakewood was not that bad, honestly. I mean, Tacoma was right up the street. You had Seattle about an hour away, but there was so much to do in both of these places, in Fort Bragg and in Washington. So much to do. We went to Seattle almost every month. To go to the Pike Place Market. The Pike Place Market was definitely my favorite place to go to. So if any one of you that are listening to this ever go to Washington, Pike Place Market is the place to be. I love that place. So I get here, I hear about Lawton, I check it out. Lawton is literally just a town. It's a small town. They got, restaurants, they got a Walmart, they got grocery stores, they got little shops here and there. Crime is bad. We had a soldier last year get shot in the head in a nightclub that was recently closed down right outside of Post. So that was pretty horrible to hear about. Lawton, Oklahoma is just infested with drugs. It's a horrible place to be. I mean, honestly, I have nothing good to say about Lawton, Oklahoma. I really don't. And that's unfortunate. I'm not saying anything bad about the army. I'm just talking about Oklahoma at this point. And if you're from Oklahoma, listen, I know not all of Oklahoma's like this, okay? So I'm strictly talking about Lawton, Oklahoma at this point. I had a couple soldiers that, got addicted to drugs. One of them, well, most of them have gotten chaptered out of the army already, so they've been. Basically, it's just an easy way of saying kicked out. They've gotten kicked out of the army already. Unfortunately, one of those soldiers ended up coming back. He came back and he was homeless for a while. Why he came back, I don't know. I'm only assuming that it's because of the drugs. But he came back. He ended up getting kicked out, went home, came back from his home to be here, and then was blowing my phone up, asking me for money, asking other soldiers that he was with here for money, because he was claiming that he hadn't eaten or anything like that, where all he really wanted it for was to buy drugs, and nobody really wants to support someone else's habit, And the whole reason why he was chaptered out of the army, we gave him help. We sent him to rehab, so it's not like he got addicted to drugs one day and then we just decided to kick him out because we didn't want to deal with it. It's not that. We gave him help. He called me one day and he asked me for help. He said, "Sergeant Aponte, I need your help." And I was like, "Okay, what's going on, man?" "Oh, I've been doing, I've been drinking cough syrup to get high." At the time, I didn't even know you could get high off of cough syrup. I had no idea that you could do that. But he told me that he had been doing that since before he even joined the army. So I called my leadership and I told them what was going on because that's procedure. That's what you got to do. You gotta let your leadership know that, hey, one of your soldiers is having a little bit of trouble right now. He needs taken care of. What are we gonna do? So we sent this soldier to rehab for 30 days. He was down there for 30 days. He got all the help that he needed. 30 days without your phone, 30 days without doing drug. I'm assuming he went through withdrawal a little bit. So he probably had a little bit of a rough time when he first got there, but after he got out, after 30 days, I saw him and he looked great. He had gained some weight. He was happy. I was very, very happy for him. And so there's a place that we have in the military called behavioral health, which is basically you go there, you see a counselor, you talk to your counselor, conversate, all that type of stuff. And so that's where he was going. Unfortunately, after about a month or two, he relapsed and started drinking cough medicine again. So what we did was, well, the only thing that we really know how to do is just send him back to rehab. So that's what we did. We sent him back to rehab for another 19 days. After he got out, it was the same. He looked great. He had gained some weight again because he had lost some weight while he was here. New Year's came around, and it was hard because at the time when New Year's came around, and we all came back to work that next year in early 2019, we had found out that he got addicted to doing meth. I mean, he was injecting the stuff into his body, and at the time, his wife was pregnant with his first kid, his first daughter. And it was just horrible. Like there's no, it's like watching one of your kids go through this and you not really knowing what to do about it, but ask for help, you know? And that's what we did. We had to ask for help and we had to try and help him again, but what we were doing wasn't really helping him. The only decision that we could make was call his parents. And I mean, this is a grown adult that we're talking about. You volunteered to join the United States military, but after you're 18 years old, this man is a grown adult. And so we had to call his parents and we had to tell them what was going on. And we had to basically break it to his parents and let them know that there was nothing else that we could do for him but send him home. And that's what we did. We sent him home. Eventually, you know, because that stuff takes some time. It's not like a quick turnaround and hey, now you're going home. This is months of process to get him to go home. The paperwork and counseling and all that type of stuff. And so we finally got him to go home. He went home, ended up coming back. I don't really know what was going on with him because I hadn't talked to him, I hadn't seen him. Fortunately, there's still good people in the world. And we had a couple soldiers from our unit that went and bought him a bus ticket, took him to the bus station, and made sure that he got on that bus to go back home. So, from what I know, as of right now, he went back home and that's where he is right now. So, I really, really hope that he is getting all the help that he needs back home and that he's getting taken care of. But, apart from that, I know I got a little sidetracked, but yeah, so my wife was feeling a little down because she has basically, the whole time that I've been in the military, just felt like she was just a wife or a mom. And she felt like she was stuck here in Lawton, Oklahoma, with nothing to do because there's really not that much to do around here. And we had a conversation. And it was a hard conversation, but she decided that she wanted to go back home to Pennsylvania to find a job, to do things independently, to be able to make herself feel like she's doing things for herself again, and she's not just relying on me, to take care of her. And I understood that. I did. I felt where she was coming from. Don't get me wrong. That's what all that I wanted was for her to rely on me because I'm her husband, you know. As a husband, that was my job, is for my wife to rely on me so that I can take care of her. But I'm not gonna lie to you and say that I was perfect either. I had a lot of work ahead of me that I did not know was coming. And well, with that, I'm gonna end this episode. Okay, I know it was a long introduction, but when you listen to this, and I really appreciate you listening to this. I really appreciate whoever listens to this. I hope that you follow me on these episodes, on this journey. I'm just a normal guy. I am not gonna do too much editing, if any at all, on this recording. Right now, I'm gonna be completely honest with you. I have my headphones in, I'm speaking through the microphone, and I'm walking around in my living room, because whenever I talk through my headphones, I don't know how to sit still. I pace around. So if you hear me walking around, if you hear me making any type of noises in the background, I just want you to know this is me just pacing around in my house, because I don't know what else to do, because I'm basically talking to myself. But if you're listening to this, thank you for listening. I'm going to end this podcast episode at this moment, and I will begin where I left off in the next episode. So again, thank you, and I'll catch you on the next one.